Is it
Log
possible
Talk
to
Radio.
Stream? Is it possible?
Voice of Destiny brings you your favorite Christian authors, speakers, and filmmakers each week. Listen in as our guests teach and encourage. Listeners share their stories, and we go live to the front lines of what God is doing across the world. Now, get ready for the Voice of Destiny.
Is it possible to experience 60 supernatural seconds with God that change everything? I know many of us are going through different situations in life where we want a miracle. We just want that divine intervention. We want that answered prayer from God. And there's so many people, I'm sure, who are listening right now where there is something on your heart and you're saying, God, I need your touch. I need you to come through. And the good news is I have somebody with me on the line today, Dr. Keith Ellis, who's written a book called 1 Minute with God. This is not just a book. I believe this is a prophecy. I believe as you read this message is a testimony. And as you read what God has instructed him, what God has taught him, and really most importantly, what God has brought him through, I believe fresh faith will be released to you to believe God for that 1 minute encounter that changes absolutely everything. So, Dr. Ellis, it's such an honor to have you on the show today.
Well, Larry, we thank you so much for having us on today, and it is always a pleasure to talk to you. You're so excited about the Lord, and we just are so thankful for this invitation to tell the listeners and to thank you for this time that we have together today, expecting people to get their 1 minute with God after this interview.
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. I believe in this book and just on this message, I believe there's an anointing that rests on it because I believe God just wants to let his people know we strive and we fight and we do everything in our natural ability to bring about a result. I think God just wants to let people know that when his hand is involved, when he releases that miracle, when he responds to our cries and our desperation, all it takes with him is really that 1 minute, that one moment encounter. And Dr. Ellis, I think the most appropriate way for us to start this interview, can you share about your 1 minute with God? I know you had a 1 minute with God encounter that brought you to Jesus. Can you share about maybe that a little bit? And then really that significant 1 minute encounter with your son that really changed everything.
Well, Larry, yeah, I'll be glad to share some of the book here. What I wanted to talk about today was literally what you just said, that many, many years ago, I met my wife-to-be at that time, and we went out on our first date, which was she wanted me to go to church. And so I went to church that day with her. Knew a lot about the Lord, had visited churches on and off, as growing up and went to church on a regular basis, but never had really had an encounter with him that really just changed my life forever. And then on that Sunday that she invited me to church, that was our first date. We were sitting there, the church was full, the minister was preaching, and it was great. We were sitting near the front there, and I never will forget it, that I wasn't thinking about getting saved or coming to the Lord or anything. I just was sitting there looking at her thinking, boy, can't wait till we get through and get to go to lunch. And about that time, I had an encounter with God.
Wow.
The minister was talking about, how important it was for us to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when he said those words, something just got a hold of me, and I always thought I was a pretty good guy and stuff, but I realized in that 1 minute that there were some things that needed to change in my life. And the first thing I knew, I got up out of the pew at this church that I was just visiting with her, walked down to the front, fell on my knees, and that was my first 1 minute encounter with God that literally changed my world. I mean, I accepted the Lord as Savior. I got saved. I was baptized the same day in water. I thought the whole world looked totally different to me. I mean, I just was so excited that the Lord would speak to me, draw me. And I'm not talking about with an audible voice right there. I'm just saying in my heart, I just knew that it was my moment in my day, Larry. And so that day was one of the greatest days and one of the greatest 1 minute encounters with God that I've ever had. Because, you know, when you come to that place that you realize that you must have Jesus in your life, and I did that. I accepted him as Savior and Lord, and got up, and my whole world changed for a while. I mean, it just went great. Well, we were married. We had started a family, and the pressures of life, a job, a marriage, a family, you know, all the things that goes on, and the economy was not doing well in those days, and I kind of got out of church. I mean, just got where, you know, started missing some, and I still loved the Lord. It was just so many things that was going on in our lives, and we had a little boy who was 6 years old. He was in the first grade, and actually he was in a program for a very, you know, he's a very bright child, and so he just said, in the first grade he excelled in his class, and we were all doing real well. And but like I said, the Lord was really not first in my life. He just, you know, I just kind of put church and him on the back burner, even though the initial 1 minute with him when I got saved had really just changed my whole world. But because of the stress and the cares of life, you know, and some other things that happened, I just kind of got, I would say the word would be backslid from the Lord. And it was kind of cold, and I've got too much to do to go to church right now and read my Bible. I was just busy all the time. And my wife called me one day at work and said that our son, who had went to school in the first grade, was running a fever, and they had called her to come get him, and she was going to carry him to the pediatrician. So the story, what I said was just, you know, just after hearing the story of how he was running a fever, I said, yeah, just carry him on and see if you can get some medicine. And it happened to be, it was on Halloween, last day of October. And so she carried him to the doctor, and the doctor, after, you know, it was a busy day at the doctor's office, so it took a while. But once she got him in there, they checked him and said, we've seen a lot of kids with this. It's some kind of virus that's going around. They said, take him home. It should, you know, 48 hours it should go. We're going to give him a little something to take. And she brought him home. I came in from work. It was kind of one of those evenings. You know, it was Halloween night, and the kids were in the neighborhood were having a little festival and all that kind of stuff, but we kind of just stayed close to home that night, and he wasn't feeling that well. And sometime during the middle of the night, before morning, I heard a noise, and he rolled out the bed. And when I ran into his room to get him, he was in the floor, and I just reached under with my arms and picked him up and started to lay him in the bed, and I realized that he was stiff feeling. And so I flipped the light on, and I saw that, you know, he was not responding real well. And right around the corner from our house was a little hospital, a little small hospital. It was just right around the corner. And so just in a second, I just grabbed him, put him in the car, and just went right around the corner. I mean, just within a minute or two, I was in the parking lot. I pulled right up to the emergency, grabbed him, and told him exactly how he rolled out of the bed. And he had been, you know, to the doctor that day, and being diagnosed with some kind of little virus. And so they took him in and began to work with him. And then they did some things. And then they came out into the waiting room where I was and said, we've called another ambulance. And I said, why? And they said, because he has got something that bigger than what we can handle here. So we're going to send him to a big major hospital. So they got their, you know, all the stuff that they do, the IVs, things going. And then an ambulance pulled up, and I crawled in the back with him, and we took off to another hospital. We got to that hospital, and they diagnosed him, and they said that we need to send him to another hospital. So that night we would be in three hospitals. The last one was equipped with an environment where they could handle people with an infectious disease. And then I found out later why we went to three, and it was because he had bacterial spinal meningitis, which is very, very critical. He was very critically ill. he was in, what the reason he had rolled out of the bed is because he was in a coma. I didn't even realize that. I just thought, you know, he rolled out and he wasn't responding well. And, you know, and they thought they were working with him, and then they sent him to the next one, and they diagnosed it after blood work that he had bacterial spinal meningitis and was in a coma, and they put him in an isolated unit. We couldn't even go in and see him because it was so dangerous, and literally people had died from that. That they had, it was some kind of it came through. So they were really really worried, and they got us really worried. And they said, "You're going everybody's been in contact with him. Everybody has to be medicated immediately. We have to contact everybody." So every place he had been, you know, at his grandparents, at school, with us, everybody that had been in any contact, the hospitals, anything, had to be medicated. He was put in isolation,
wow.
and they began to work on him, Larry. And he was there, you know, many days and many tests, and he just grew worse and worse and worse. He was just in a coma, not responding to anything. And the real thing that really got me more than anything else is they were doing brain scans and brain wave tests, and they weren't getting anything. They weren't picking up anything. So it was very a hopeless looking situation in the natural. Now, sitting in the waiting room, we had, you know, crowds of people coming that knew us for years, and ministers coming and everybody coming and trying to support. We had the greatest team of doctors in the world, and I mean, I'm always going to be grateful to them and the staff there. I think that when you have a problem, you need to go to a doctor and find out what it is. If they give you medication, you should stay on the medication. But in the meantime, after you get diagnosed and you get the medication, you should take it to God in prayer. That's what I've taught, you know, all this time. You know, go find out what's wrong with you. You know, get your medication and then pray and let God work, and that's what we were doing. And I went out and I realized that I felt that I wasn't in any shape to pray. A lot of people were praying all over the world, but, you know, that knew us and churches that knew us and stuff, that knew my wife's family and all, our family, but I just kept feeling like I wasn't in no shape to pray, but I was trying. And we got one afternoon where the team of doctors came in. They literally just were totally dedicated to this young boy, my son Justin. They were dedicated to doing everything humanly possible. So they began to call in other doctors from other hospitals. They were doing everything they could, and we should always do everything we can in the natural. Do everything you can. Many, many lives are saved that way. And so we were doing everything we could, and I even asked, could we, you know, bring in other doctors that I had heard of that were specialists in comas and stuff like that. So once we were all medicated, we were allowed to go in with him, suited up with a mask and you know, the gowns and the gloves, and we could at least spend a little time. And I couldn't get him to respond. My wife couldn't get him to respond. He from the time he had fallen out of the bed, he had been in the fetal position. He couldn't see, talk, walk, hear. He wasn't moving. He was just getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and they had him on a ventilator, ventilating him. It was actually breathing for him. And so it was a really bad case. I mean, and then they came to us and told us that they had done everything that they humanly possible could do, except now just keep him comfortable, but he was growing worse by the hour. And they said that we had the medication, Larry, long enough that we could actually go in and sit with him. And so my wife went in and, of course, took him by the hand. We were both crying really hard. The doctors came in and circled us, and they were crying. We were all crying. And so they said, but we'll do everything we can in the natural. And I said, well, and this just came out of me. And I said, well, you know what? Yeah, I want to thank y'all and for everything you've already done and what you're going to do. But I said, I really feel like Jesus is going to get involved here and help us. I feel like he's going to come through. And they said, well, you know, for your sake, that would be great, man. That would be great.
Yeah.
And that just came out of my belly. I was so shy, I can't believe I even said that. But, you know, you put the word in you for years, and then one day it just comes out. And I had a really good positive word there, but I didn't know how it was going to happen because I had nothing to measure this by, because I'd never faced anything like that. And I think there are people listening today out there, Larry, that are they are facing things that they've never had to face before. They have nothing to measure it by. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're facing things in their life. You know, it may be, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, or, you know, maybe financially. But they're facing things, too, and they don't know, you know, Lord, what are you going to do in this matter? I've never been here before. I don't know anybody that's been here. That's where I was that day. I didn't know what to do. And even though I was praying, I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. So I asked my wife. The doctor said, we're going to put him in a room, make him comfortable. And he's just getting worse by the hour. So after many days, we've done everything humanly possible. So I told my wife, I said, well, it's quiet, and he's there, and you got his hand. Could I slip home? Can I go home? And I just feel like I need to be alone. And she said, I'm not leaving, but you go ahead if that's what you feel like you need to do. So she gave me permission. So I left. I got in the car, and I cried. They had taken us to a hospital. It was pretty far off, so I cried all the way home until I couldn't cry no more. And, I mean, I know there's people out there listening that's probably been that where I've been, you know. It was hard. It was very hard. You get to where you can't even cry. You're just crying until all the tears are gone. I mean, just you can't even cry anymore. So I got home. I thought, well, I'll go into the house. It was a cold winter night, and I'll, you know, turn on some heat, turn on some lights, take a shower, pray a little bit, and then I'll go back. And so what happened was I went in. It was a cold house. Nobody there. Had been empty for days as we've been over there weeks and stuff. So I went in and I prayed, and I turned on some heat, turned on one light there in the Justin's room where he slept, which was right across the hall from our master room where we slept, master bedroom. And I'm sitting in our bedroom in the dark, and I'm crying out to God, Lord, you know, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for just leaving you and walking away and just getting my mind on everything but you. Lord, help us. Will you please help us? And Larry, I'm sitting there now on the side of that bed. I can see into Justin's room. I can see his little bed in that room and the lights, little small lights on in there. But where I'm sitting on the end of the bed, suddenly a bright light appears that is so strong that it knocks me back. And this is the brightest thing I have ever seen. I even had to kind of put my hand over. I remember putting my hand over my eyes. And that light, there was Jesus. And I thought, you know, I always thought if Jesus ever appeared to you, you'd just sit down and have a conversation. You know, I'd heard about people doing that. But this was so strong. Well, I was there repenting and saying, help us, Lord. It was so strong. It pushed me back, and I couldn't say anything. It was just so strong. And he looked right into my eyes, and what I saw is even though I wasn't where I should have been, I saw his overlooking love and grace coming out of his eyes.
Wow.
I saw he cared about me. That I, you know, he didn't leave me. I left him, but he never had left me or forsaken me. He was there the whole time. And he appeared, and I mean, I was scared. I was shaking like you wouldn't believe. I tried to say something. It wouldn't come out. And he said these words, go to church. Now, I had left church, and, you know, I'd been out a year, and our church was an hour away, and that just didn't register to me. I was like, in my mind, I'm thinking, go to church. And then all of a sudden, he's just gone. Boom, the light's gone. Everything's right back to normal, except that I'm shaking violently. I mean, just I couldn't even hold myself still. And it wasn't because I was that cold, because I had gotten the house warm when I came in. I turned the heat on. But it was that the power was so strong, it's like a residue stayed in the room. And I was shaking out. My teeth were chattering. I was very shy in those days anyways. And I wouldn't have went to a church in the middle of the night or anything, but I had an instruction. I was crying out for help, and he appears, and he gives me an instruction. So what I did was I thought, okay.
Well, hold on one second, Dr. Ellis. Well, hold on one moment, because as you were sharing that, I just want to let our listeners know, and I feel like the Holy Spirit might have you just minister a minute. We have about 10 minutes of the program left. I really want you to share kind of the climactic moment of how the Lord really broke in. But could we just take this 1 minute I feel like there's people out there who are listening. They're either listening live, they're going to listen to the archive, and they feel like you did. You know, maybe at one point they made a decision for Jesus. They came to an altar. They prayed a prayer. They had a legitimate encounter with God where the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. But maybe they feel like, you know what, I've walked away from God. I've walked so far away from God. You know, you guys, you were talking about this one-minute encounter with God stuff. That I'm not worthy of that. And yet, Dr. Ellis, you felt the same way. It's like you didn't even feel worthy at one point to pray, but God Right. came and encountered you. Like you said, even though you might have left God, he never left you. Would you just minister to those people just for a minute, and then we'll finish up with your story?
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to say today that particular night, in the darkest hour of my life, Jesus cared about me, and he came. And even though I'd walked away from him, like I said to Larry earlier, that he never walked away from me. He was literally there all the time. In fact, there's a scripture that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He understands that we are yet, you know, the dust of the earth. He understands our frame. He knows all about us. He knows we make mistakes. And that's what the cross is all about. It's about, you know, forgiving us. His arms were stretched out to the past, and the other one was stretched to the future. He had his arms on that cross. He takes care of our past. He takes care of our future, and he's in the middle of our lives. Isn't that wonderful? And so when we think about this, we want to say to the listeners today that no matter where you're at, I just want to say to you right now, Jesus loves you. He loves you with an unexplainable love. I can't even explain it today, because he proved it to me that day. When he came to where I was, and at least, I mean, I don't know if everybody will have that, the kind of encounter I've had, you know, I don't know. But I tell you this, you can have a knowing in your spirit, which is a 1 minute with God. You can read a scripture, and it'll suddenly bring life back to you. You can, you know, the Bible says he's the lifter of our head. And you know what? My head was so low, and he just lifted me right up with three little words, go to church. And I want to say to somebody today out there, I'm getting emails from all over the world. People are saying, I'm going back to church. I hadn't been in years. Yeah. I'm getting emails that people are rededicating their lives. That if anybody will call, you know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right now, if you're there and you're away from God and you need to come back home, it's like the prodigal son. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And when he got back home, the father didn't even have time to listen to his excuses. He just grabbed him and hugged him and said, bring the best robe, the ring, and the sandals, and let's begin to be merry. Let's get the calf, and let's have a good time. He was just so forgiving.
Amen.
And I think that's what Father God is doing today, that people will come back to the Lord. And you know, and not only that, I'm asking God for everybody that's listening to understand that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Just seek him for that 1 minute, because we're having people get financial miracles. We're having people get breakthroughs. We're having people come out of depression. We're having people that are being healed. I mean, I can tell story after story, and God loves everybody the same, and he wants to help our listeners today, Larry.
Absolutely. And now, Dr. Ellis, we only have a few minutes left, but and we don't want to give away the whole story, because for those of you who are listening, 1 minute with God, it has powerful revelatory teaching, but really it is built around powerful testimony that Dr. Ellis has been sharing. Just very briefly, what ended up happening to your son? But because we're going to have the listeners read the rest of the book to find out the whole story, but ultimately, what did God do for him, and what can God do for them as well?
Okay, well, Larry, I just want, like I said, I want them to get the book. They can get it so many places. You'll be telling them about that. But here's what I want to know. I did obey God that night. I did go to church. I did get right. God said, your son's healed. We went back to the hospital. He became the miracle boy of the hospital the next day. He stood up. He could hear, see, walk, talk. He was normal, and you know what? They turned him loose the next day or so because he was doing so great. And at this day, right now, today, he's got the IQ of a genius. God is blessing his life. He works for a major university, and his health is absolutely perfect. That's what God can do in 1 minute.
Yeah. And really the powerful thing about this book, just to let you guys out there know, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done right now, if you call upon the name of the Lord, just like the Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. I believe you may feel like you are a million miles from God. God has made the journey towards you. He's never left you. I believe if you call on his name and say, God, I need your help, just like Dr. Ellis did, he will respond. So that's one of the powerful revelations of this book. Cry out to God no matter where you are. And I believe by reading this book, 1 Minute with God, it's going to ignite faith and expectation. It's going to ignite an expectation that just one touch from God can change everything, no matter where you are, no matter what you're experiencing. The powerful thing about your testimony, Dr. Ellis, is, I mean, that's a serious situation. You guys were in a very serious, critical situation with your son, and yet God brought him back literally from the brink of death. Again, you gotta read the book to hear the whole story. It is compelling. It is gripping. It was led moment by moment, step by step, by the Holy Spirit. I believe there's actually an anointing and a grace on that testimony, because when we talk about the works of God, when we talk about what he's done, how he's saved us, how he's healed us, how he's delivered us, when we talk about those things, it actually releases faith in the people listening. So, Dr. Ellis, would you mind just praying for our listeners? I'm going to believe that their faith is being stirred as you've shared this story and as they read the book, that they would have expectation and they position themselves to receive that 1 minute with God. So if you could just give us a prayer, and then I'm going to let our listeners know where they can get the book and how they can further connect with you, Dr. Ellis.
Okay, Larry, I sure thank you so much. And I want to pray for everybody listening today across the world, that as you're listening to this broadcast, I want to tell you that nothing is impossible with God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He proved it to me. And over again, as this book has went out all over the country, people are getting their 1 minute with God, 60 supernatural seconds that will change their life. Many of them are reporting that they feel a residue on this book. Some of them have, even ministers have contacted me that have read it over 5 times. They just can't get enough of it. And I want to say today that Larry, have all the information here for you in just a minute, but get a hold of this book. It will touch your life. It will change you. It will excite you. Just reach out to God, like Larry said. Call upon the name of the Lord. He'll forgive you. There's nothing that he can't do for you. He will wash your sins away with the blood of Jesus. He will set you on fire, and he will give you that 1 minute encounter. Like I said, through reading the book, through reading your Bible, through going to church, you'll have that minute. And it may just be inside you. You suddenly know that things are going to get better. And in Jesus' name, we ask that God touch everybody listening today, that they would have a moment with God, that 60 supernatural seconds that will change their life forever and give them the main thing that I'm hearing, Larry, is that people are getting hope by reading this book. That would be the word, hope.
That's good. That's absolutely true. And that's what this book does. It will connect you to new possibilities. It will connect you to possibilities that are maybe off your radar. Maybe you don't believe that God heals or that God can perform a miracle. You'll read this story, and this Dr. Ellis is a sincere man who follows Jesus. He has nothing to gain from this except to share his story of hope with you. And as you read his story, I believe fresh hope will be ignited in your heart. It is called 1 Minute with God. We do believe it will change your life, and it will stir fresh hope in you to believe God for the impossible. So you can get that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, christianbooks.com. And I want to encourage you, October 15th, Dr. Keith Ellis will be on Sid Roth's live program. You can access that through sidroth.org. We believe that will be a blessing. He's going to share much more about this message. And we are just trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to use this 1 minute with God testimony, this message, to really stir a generation to believe God for the impossible. So thank you so much, Dr. Ellis, and for all of our listeners, we look forward to having you join us again. On Monday, we're going to have John Bevere with us talking about his latest book, Good or God. Be blessed.
Okay, thank you, Larry, so much for having us.
This has been the Voice of Destiny, your trusted source for the latest Spirit-filled resources for your everyday life. Thanks again for listening.